Okay, so thank you. And I hope everyone recovered from last week's chat about Ruth Friedman. I want to speak with you tonight about a few topics that come up in Yichud that are not directly related to what we did last week, but tangentially related. The basic idea that we spoke about last week was that, is Yichud d'oraisa d'rabbanan? Is there a Torah prohibition of being secluded with a person of the opposite gender? Or is it only a rabbinic prohibition? Is it only d'rabbanan? That was the basic question. And of course, what we said last week is that if we understand that Yichud is only a rabbinic prohibition, so obviously it's not going to be a harid vayavar. Obviously, there's no need to give up your life not to violate the iser of Yichud. That was the basic upshot of a lot of what we said last week. Now, another question that comes up in terms of this issue of Yichud d'oraisa d'rabbanan, is it a Torah prohibition, is it a rabbinic prohibition, is what we call the question of shiur. How long does a person have to be secluded with someone of the opposite gender in order to violate the prohibition of Yichud? Now, we know that Yichud comes up both in the context of the prohibition of Yichud, what we're learning now, but also comes up when you get married. Right? When you get married, you put the newlywed couple, literally newlywed, into the Yichud room, and they stay there for a few minutes. And if you're an Eid Yichud, you ask the Masada Kedushin, well, how long do I have to stay out of the room? Because kind of just standing outside of the room isn't that much fun. There's not that much to do, especially if you don't know the person who you're in Eid Yichud with. There isn't really that much to do. You just stand outside, you make sure that no one goes into the room. No one can go into the room. The door is locked from the inside. There's just no way to get there. This is the Yichud that really cements the marriage relationship. According to many Rishonim, that Yichud at the beginning of marriage is what we call the Nesuin. Right? There are two stages in marriage. It's Erusin, which is not really engagement. Erusin is betrothal. You're actually getting married. You give her the Kesef Kedushin. And then there's the Nesuin, which is, technically speaking, when the wife moves into the husband's home. That's Nesuin. And we view the Yichud room like it's a form of Nesuin. So how long do they have to stay in the Yichud room together? And there are various shiurim that are given. Various amounts of time. Some poskim say 35 seconds. That's not so bad. Others say 9 minutes. That's already a lot longer. And then there are various shiurim in between 35 seconds and 9 minutes. Now, where this comes from is it comes from a Gemara in Sota. The Gemara in Sota, in the context of the other din of Yichud, which is Stira by Yisota. If a husband is jealous of his wife and warns her, I don't want you to be with this particular man, that's Kinoi, he warns her, and then Stira, if they're secluded together, so then the Sota process begins. Now, how long is Stira, the Gemara asks. Kamashir Stira. And the Gemara answers, Kidei Tuma. It's the amount of time that it takes for the sexual act to take place, which is kidei bia, kidei hara'a, which is the amount of time to have a complete bia, or the amount of time to have the beginning of bia, and then the Gemara begins giving interesting shirim, kidei hakofas dekel, the amount of time it takes to walk around a tree. Now, how long does it take to walk around a tree? Well, it depends on the size of the tree. No? The sequoias, the redwoods, are kind of a little bit bigger than, I think, some of the trees that we have here on Bennett Avenue. If we have any trees here, right? Or, Rebbe Lazar Omer Kedei Mezigas HaKos. Rebbe Lazar says it's the amount of time it takes to pour a kos. Well, how long is that?
How big is the kos?
How big is the kos? How fast are you pouring? We have no idea what any of these shiurim mean. Rebbe Yeshua says Kedei Lishtoso, the amount of time it takes to drink a cup. What does that mean? Again, how big is the cup? Who are you? We have no idea what these shiurim are. And consequently, we have various estimations, anywhere from 35 seconds to 9 minutes. And that's what, usually when you get married, they tell the Eda Yichud, the Masada Kedushin tells the Eda Yichud, wait outside for 7, 8, 9 minutes, something like that, then you could go and eat your meal. You don't have to hang around there forever. Okay, but what about for our purposes? For Yichud of an Isser, right? The prohibition of being secluded. How long do you have to be secluded to violate that prohibition? For example, I come home during the day, lunchtime, for a few minutes. I want to get something to eat. Okay, so we'll talk later on tonight about leaving the door open. Let's say I just want to run in to get a cup of Coke. I want to run in to get a Sefer. Is there Yichud? Again, no. I'm talking about Yichud with my babysitter during the day. She's non-Jewish. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan. So what exactly is the Shear for Yichud in these cases? It's not really clear from the Poskim. It's not really clear. We usually try to be machmir. We try to be machmir, even though by getting married, we say the shear is closer to the 9-minute range. But when it comes to the isser, we say that the shear is somewhere closer to the 35-second range. Where that is, we don't know. We don't know, but how long is the isser yichud? It's a big mystery. Now, this is, of course, the big issue that came up with elevators, no? Is there yichud when you ride an elevator? Now, that means if, like, one person with someone of the opposite gender is in the elevator together. If you're in your building's elevator and there are 400 people, so that's not an isser yichud, of course. So is there an isser of yichud in an elevator? Most poskim, almost all the poskim. The one posik, Rabbi Daniel Film actually told me that there's some Yiddish language art scroll book that came out about Yichud. Art scroll was publishing books in Yiddish like some 30 years ago when they first started. So there's a Yiddish language art scroll book about Yichud that Asher's riding elevators together, but they never decided to publish it in English. So I don't know anyone who really Asher's elevators, but the question is, why not? So the answer probably is, well, it's not really the shear of Yichud. It's not the shear, because you ride up in the elevator. How long is the ride? Unless you're taking the elevator up to the 86th floor observatory by the Empire State Building, it's not such a long ride. And even then, I think the entire ride is like some 45 seconds. I don't think these elevator rides are all that long. So, what exactly could possibly be the problem? Why would this Yiddish language book published, I'm not sure if it was published by Rutsko, it looks exactly like an Rutsko book, you have to ask Rabbi Feldman again. But why exactly would he aser yichud in an elevator? So the answer is that it's based on the statement of Maharil Diskin. Maharil Diskin is Rishon Leib Diskin, who was the Rav in Yerushalayim in the old Yishuv. And his position is quoted both by Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the second source on the sheet and by the Tzitz Eliezer on the third source. Let's read it from the Tzitz Eliezer because he says it a little bit shorter. He quotes, Ra'isi B'shut Maharil Diskin. This is the Tzitz Eliezer as a whole kuntres about Yichud, and he's talking about the elevator question. So he says, I saw the Maharil Diskin writes in Kuntres Acher in letter Reshvav, that Pachos Mikadei Shir Kadvarm Ha'eva. He writes, if you have less than a shir of Yichud, so he says, Ra'im Yichud Ak Pachos Mikadei Bia is Aser, Levad Dezehevi Chatsi Shir. Whoa, that's interesting. We have a principle, the Gemara tells us in Yuma, that Chatzi Shir is Aser Min HaTorah. Right? What that means is that, according to the Din De'Oraisa, so according to the Torah, I'm not allowed to eat, let's say, Chazer. I can't eat pig. Correct? How much pig can I not eat? A Kezayis. That's the normal amount of eating, is a Kezayis. Let's say I want to take a teeny bite. Just taste it. Just want to taste it. Is that permitted? Can I just take a little lick of pig? A little tiny taste? Is that permitted? So it's machlokas in the garden of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, and we paskin that chatzi shir is aser min haTorah. I can't take even the tiniest little taste of pig. It's a chatzi shir, and that's forbidden. That's, we assume, an iser d'oraisa. It's an iser d'oraisa to take a tiny taste of pig. So says Maharil Diskin, well, if chatzi shir is aser min haTorah, if there's an iser d'oraisa of eating a tiny amount of pig, so that means that by every Isser d'Oraisa, right, where there's a shear, right, for example, gazela, there's a shear. I'm not allowed to steal a shove of pruta. A pruta now is worth what? 2.5 for 3 cents. I can't steal minatara 2.5 for 3 cents. If I steal 1 penny from you, or I steal something that's not really worth all that much, like I link up to your Wi-Fi access or something, that's an Isser gezel min haTorah, because that is considered chatzi shir aser min haTorah. Right? I'm stealing a tiny amount, even less than a shavet. I like throwing in interesting ideas just as a side. Yeah.
How I'm not clear on something. If Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah, then isn't that the Shir?
So if Chatzi Shir is Asur Min HaTorah, so the real Shir of Yichud would be in terms of getting a punishment. Now, we don't give punishments for Yichud with an Esh HaSish, with a married woman, but for Yichud with other Arayos, let's say you have Yichud with your aunt or something, so you would get Malkus, technically. So you only get Malkus with a full shear, and you don't get Malkus with less than a full shear. But it's still Usur Min HaTorah. Right? Just like I take one lick of pig, I don't get Malkus, they're not going to give me 39 lashes, only if I eat a full kezayis, I get 39 lashes. So Maharil Diskin wants to say that Chatzi Shir is Usur Min HaTorah by Yichud, and this led to the whole discussion. First of all, is he right? Is he wrong? And that should also mean that I can't be in seclusion with someone of the opposite gender for what? For a second. Less than a second. Any amount of time you can't be secluded. That's kind of hard to live with. Right? This would be a very, very, very big chumrah. So most poskim say, you know, Maharil Diskin is wrong. He's wrong. The Tzitz Eliezer says Maharil Diskin is definitely wrong. He says that absolutely wrong. The entire shear of Yichud is because you're going to come to Bia. You'll come to have relations together. If relations isn't possible because it's not enough time, it's just a second, so obviously, there's no Isser of Yichud at all. This is what they call in yeshivos, is a term that the Rugachever Gon used. The Rugachever was a very wild genius. He had like long hair. My father knew a Jew who knew the Rugachever. There was a Rabbi Silver who lived in Baltimore when my parents first got married, and he lived with the Rugachever, and he remembers that the Rugachever would come in to shul, and he would start to daven, and move davening, he'd forget that he was davening, and he'd start to like learn a sugya, and he'd walk up and down. He was like a wild man, but he knew everything. And if any of you are interested in doing a good doctoral dissertation in Yeshiva University, we actually have 500 postcards that the Rugachever wrote to different yeshiva guys in Europe who would like send him any weird question they'd send him, and he'd give them these incredible answers. They used to have like these postcards that were two sides. One side you'd write the question, the other side they'd write the answer back. So we have them in Yeshiva. We used to have a Rugachever Institute in YU in the 50s. This goes back a while. Even before I was born. Now, so the Rugachever has this idea that he calls a shear nekuda. There are certain times that the shear, the amount, is a threshold, which means that less than that amount, you're not doing the act at all. Right? It could be, it's called a shear nekuda, so it's a threshold. That's really what the Tzitz Eliezer is arguing, so therefore there's no concept of chatzi shear by Yichud. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach feels that fundamentally there should be chatzi shear by Yichud, but he says chatzi shear by Yichud is only if you're in a situation that's real bona fide Yichud. But if you're in a situation like an elevator that could be stopped at any point, that someone from the outside could push a button and instead of going, the building I work in has 16 floors. So if you go 1 to 16, maybe you get 35 seconds, I doubt it. But if someone pushed the button at floor 2, they would open up in less than 35 seconds, so that's not Yichud at all, because that's not considered being secluded. That's what Shlomo Zalman's argument. Okay, now, why are we having this conversation? Obviously, we assume that elevators are mutter. Elevators are mutter. So why are we having a conversation about Yichud? Well, first of all, we see one interesting thing, which is that the prohibition of Yichud, we're assuming, is based on having relations. One could have argued that maybe Yichud should be also even in a second, because maybe it will lead to chibuk and nishuk. Maybe you'll kiss and hug. Right? And that's also an Isser de Oraisa, according to the Rambam, for sure. Even according to the Ramban, chibuk and nishuk, the Ramban has two opinions, whether it's de Oraisa or not. But the Ramban, according to one opinion, also saying chibuk and nishuk is de Oraisa. So maybe we should say that Yichud is also even for a second, because it might lead to chibuk and nishuk. Right? No one says this, but why not? Why does no one say this? And also, why is it that no one says that the prohibition of Yichud, how come we assume that Maharil Diskin is wrong? So, actually I promised this to Uri right before this year. So the answer seems to be based on a principle that the Prima Godim develops. The Prima Godim was this also a very creative genius. And he wrote a commentary on the Shulchan Aruch called the Prima Gadim, Rabbi Yosef Ta'omim. I think he passed away in the 1660s. So he was fairly, it could be in the 1660s. He was born in the 1660s. He passed away like in the 1720s or so. Very, very creative genius. So the Prima Gadim develops this idea that there's a concept, we all know the concept, Gezeira le Gezeira. The rabbis have authority to make a Gezeira. One Gezeira, for example. Min HaTorah, I'm not allowed to marry my mother. That's a pasuk in the Torah, you can't marry your mother. A Gezeira le Gezeira would be a grandmother. A certain type of Gezeira would be you can't marry your grandmother. A Gezeira le Gezeira would be a prohibition to marry, let's say, a grandmother's aunt. That would be a Gezeira le Gezeira, right? I can't marry my aunt. I can't marry my mother. So I can't marry my grandmother. That's one Gezeira. What about my grandmother's aunt? So that's called a Gezeira le Gezeira, and that is, generally speaking, permitted. Right? You're technically allowed to marry your grandmother's aunt. Okay. I don't recommend it. Now, so these things are Gezeira le Gezeiras, and usually Gezeira le Gezeiras are formulated in terms of there's a din d'oraisa, and then we make a din d'rabbanan, and we say the rabbis have limited authority. They can make one din d'rabbanan, but you can't make a din d'rabbanan based on another din d'rabbanan. That's the idea of a Gezeira le Gezeira. The Prima Gadim, however, has this very, very interesting idea. He says, you know what, maybe there's a concept of Gezeira le Gezeira even on the level of d'oraisa. For example, he says, you know, on Pesach, the Torah says that there's an Isser to eat chametz. The Torah also has a Gezeira. It's a din d'oraisa, but it's a Gezeira, it's a siyag that the Torah has, called Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. Because of a concern that I might eat chametz, I think we mentioned this last week, a concern that I might eat chametz, the Torah says, don't even own chametz. Don't even own chametz on Pesach. Right? That's a Gezeira, but it's a Gezeira min HaTorah. So what about, says the Prima Gadim, if I have Chatzi Shir by Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotzeh? Whoa. If I have something like, the Torah says I'm not allowed to own a pruta worth of chametz on Pesach. Let's say I want on a teeny morsel of chametz. Is that going to be permitted or forbidden? The Prima Gadim would say that is considered a Gezeira le Gezeira. Even though Chatzi Shir, a teeny amount of owning chametz, a teeny amount of eating chametz is an Issur D'oraisa. And owning chametz, Bal Yiro, Bal Yimotzeh is an Issur D'oraisa. So I would say, well, they're both D'oraisa. What's the problem? Says the Prima Gadim, no, it still is considered a Gezeira le Gezeira. So based on this Prima Gadim, I thought we could explain how come everyone assumes against Maharil Diskin. How come we assume that there is no problem of Chatzi Shir by Yichud? Because Yichud itself is a precautionary measure, even though Yichud is D'oraisa, but it's a precautionary measure on the level of D'oraisa. Right, it's the Torah saying, don't be secluded, because if you're secluded, you might come to have bia. So it's a gezeira, right? It's a gezeira on the level of d'oraisa. And chatzi shir is a gezeira on the level of d'oraisa. And we don't make a gezeira like gezeira, even though that it is on the level of d'oraisa. This is the idea of the Prima Gadim. This should also be why there is no concern of yichud, because it might lead to hugging and kissing. Because hugging and kissing is also a gezeira d'oraisa. The Torah says, lo sikrivu legalos erva. Don't have an intimate act because it might lead to gilui arayos. It's an issur d'oraisa to hug and kiss an erva. It's an issur d'oraisa, but it's an issur d'oraisa that's a precaution based on bia. And chatzi, and also yichud is a precaution because I might come to bia. So a double precaution, even if they're both on the level of the oraisa, a double precaution we assume is permitted. This is the basic explanation. This is the basic explanation of why I think there's no prohibition of chatzi shir by yichud, and why I think there is no prohibition of yichud because it might lead to hugging and kissing. It happens that there is one shita out there. If you want to dig up interesting shitos, this sefer, the Otzer HaPoskim, is where you find all of the oddball shitos. I don't know if they're ever going to finish. They've been writing the Otzer HaPoskim now for some 35 or 40 years, and they're only up to Siman Ayin Zayin in Ebene Ezra. So they have another 100 simanim to go, and they've already spent 40 years on it. I don't know if they'll ever finish. But what this is supposed to be is a a digest of all of the tshuvos that deal with each line in Shulchan Aruch, as it appears. Fine. So in the Otzer HaPoskim on Simin Chof Beis, which is a Simin of Yichud, so he quotes a tshuva from the Zakan Aharon, Rabbi Aaron Walkin. Rabbi Aaron Walkin has this interesting idea. There was once a couple who came to him, and the couple said, now this is before birth control, before birth control. And the couple came to him and said, we don't want to have children, so what are we going to do? So they said, we have an idea, we've already had enough children, we don't want to have any more children, so my wife just won't go to the mikveh anymore. The husband was willing, the wife was willing, everyone is willing that they won't go to the mikveh anymore. So Rabbi Aaron Walkin gets this question. So he says, well, this is a very bad idea. Very, very bad idea. And he tries to argue that, and we'll have to talk about his argument in later weeks, that the halacha is that you're allowed to have yichud with your wife when she's a nida, even though nida is technically an erva. But, you know, the idea is that your wife will eventually become muteris. Eventually she'll go to the mikvah and she'll be permitted. But if she's never going to go to the mikvah, never be permitted, so then yichud obviously should be usur. That's his first argument. But then he says, one second, yichud, why would it be usur in this case? The whole prohibition of yichud is that maybe they'll come to sleep together. They don't want to, in this case. They don't want to have children. So what's the prohibition of yichud? So comes along Rabbi Aaron Walkin, and he says, oh, I have an idea. The prohibition of yichud is because they might come to hug and kiss. Right? That she's not going to go to the mikvah, she's a nida, so they're not allowed to be intimate in any sort of way. They can't hug and kiss. Oh, so that's going to be the prohibition. So he obviously assumes that part of the prohibition of yichud is that they'll come to hug and kiss. This is not the mainstream opinion. I don't know anyone who agrees with him, but it's a nice collector's item to have. It's a good story also. Okay, fine. So now what I want to do, this is kind of the introduction that we had to yichud. We're focused on yichud, whether it's d'oraisa or not, and the fact that yichud d'oraisa requires some sort of shir. We assume that chatzi shir by yichud is not prohibited, so you could be secluded with the person for a few seconds. I'm allowed to run into my apartment, get a cup of coke, even if the door is closed, right? That's permitted, because chatzi shir by yichud is going to be permitted. This is the basic discussion that we had. Now, I want to kind of shift gears and move into what the title of this shir is, which is Yichud, the Open Door Policy, which is based on a Gemara in Kiddushin, on Daf Pei Aleph. On the second sheet, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef tells us, it's the second side of the first sheet. It says, Open Door. Amar Rav Yosef, Kesef Pasuach Roshus HaRabim, Ein Choshishin Mishum Yichud. If I have a door that's open to a public place, so then there is no concern of Yichud. This is what the Gemara says. No one disagrees with this. Very, very simple Gemara. What could be the problem? Well, the problem is a fewfold, and we'll have to talk about all these issues tonight. First of all, what does it mean that there's a door that's open? Does it have to be a door? What about if it's a window? Okay, what does it mean that the door is open? Is the door right now to this room, is it open? Well, a crack. But it certainly is not locked. But is it open? Right? Is that considered Pesach Pasuach? That's the first question. Next question, what's considered Rishus HaRavim? Right, so here in Washington Heights, we're very, very makele on the definition of Rishus HaRavim. Right? We're assuming that, is that what it works with? It works with, it needs 600,000 people? Wow. Right? That would be a tremendous chumrah by Yichud, right? That only if the door is open, what's a real Rishus HaRavim in the Torah? I don't know. The FDR drive. The FDR drive is a Rishus HaRavim in the Torah. Parts of it. What else? Is that what it means? Hard to know. So, we don't know what Pesach Pasuach means. We don't know what means that the door is open. We don't know what Rishus HaRavim means. So, let's begin our conversation. The first question is, leaving the door open. This, by the way, is the easiest heter by Yichud. Right? What we mentioned right at the beginning is that Yichud is one of these areas of halacha that understanding the Isser is interesting, but the real trick in Yichud is knowing how to get around the prohibition. So everybody knows, oh, you get around the prohibition, you leave the door open. Okay, we'll have to discuss if this always works. And the first issue to discuss it is the Aruch HaShulchan has a fascinating comment. The Aruch HaShulchan tells us, in Yesh Pesach Pasuch L'Rishus HaRabim, the Ein on the Ula, if the door is open to Rishus HaRabim, and that means, he defines open as being not locked. We'll have to focus on that later on. That means the door that we have right now is considered an open door. So he says, Ein Isser, what's the next word? Keyword? B'diyeved. B'diyeved, ex post facto. In other words, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim is not something that you should rely upon. It is only B'diyeved. It is only that if the door is open, so B'diyeved, it's not a prohibition of Yichud. Then he adds a few other things that we'll discuss. In Gaspa, let's say you're very friendly with her. Right? Oh, Kinei La Mimenu, or the husband and the wife. The husband already suspected his wife, and he accused her of having an affair, like in the Sota case. So then it's Asurim Lehisyate Kimosha Kasavnu. So this also we'll discuss. But the first point that the Aruch HaShulchan is making is that Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim does not help L'chatchila. No one holds like this. Nobody. All right. I think we all assume that Pesach Pasuach, if we would hold like this, by the way, we are really stuck. No? In daily life, like, what do you do when you have a meeting with someone of the opposite gender? You leave the door open, no? Every situation, leave the door open. If the Aruch HaShulchan is right, so then there is really no heter l'chatzpila. The Tzitz Eliezer points out in the Tshuva, it was just a little bit too long to print out. I tried to save some trees. It's conservation week in some places now. So I didn't print out the full Tshuva. The Tzitz Eliezer points out that this is really a dispute between Rashi and the Rambam. That Rashi says that Pesach Pasuach is absolute heter gomor. You see, Rashi has a comment that the next line in the Gemara, which is Baila Ba'ir, that a woman whose husband is in the same city, there's no yichud. So Rashi on Baila Ba'ir says, that does not help l'chatchila. That's only b'diyeved. That's only ex post facto. But the fact that Rashi does not make this comment about Pesach Pasuach means that Rashi holds it helps l'chatchila. It works l'chatchila. And in Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like that. It sounds like there's absolutely no prohibition of Yichud, when it's Pesach Pasuach. If you'll skip down towards the bottom of this page, the last source on the same page says, Ba'yishet Hispo Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim. I have a house that's open to Rishus HaRabim. Ein Chashash L'Siyachin Shamim Erba. That means there's nothing to worry about at all. So everyone is assuming, the Shulchan Aruch and Rashi, they're all assuming that this comment by the Aruch HaShulchan just doesn't have what to rely upon. The Tzitz Eliezer tries to stand on his head and say, well, maybe if you read the Rambam carefully, in Perichof Beis, Halacha Yud Beis, that the Rambam might sound like it's B'diyeved. It's not clear. We're assuming that Pesach Pasuach L'Rishus HaRabim is going to be Mutar L'Chatchila. Good. Now, conceptually, what does this question have to do with? So it seems that this should touch on the fundamental idea of Pesach Pasuach. You see, if I'm in the middle of Times Square, is that Yichud? Is that secluded? There's a million people around. Of course, I'm not secluded, right? So if it's Pesach Pasuach to Times Square, am I secluded? Right? One could argue that Pesach Pasuach makes it like I am not secluded at all. It's not Yichud at all. It's not a Yichud situation whatsoever. Alternatively, we could interpret that Pesach Pasuach is just a deterrent. If the door is open, the reason why there's no concern for Yichud is because you're nervous to do anything. Someone might come in. It's a deterrent. Obviously, if Pesach Pasuach means that now I'm in a public area, so then it should be Heter Gomor. Yichud with the door open. Of course, it's absolutely permitted. I'm in a public area. I'm not secluded. It's not just two people in an intimate setting, right? I'm in a public area. But if we view Pesach Pasuach being alone with a person and having the door open as being seclusion, but there's a deterrent, so then I could say that maybe the Aruch HaShulchan is correct and it's only permitted b'diyeved, it's not permitted l'chatchila. Again, b'diyeved in the sense of if it's yichud with someone besides a married woman, that you would get malchus at the time of the Gemara when they actually gave malchus. So that is the first question about Pesach Pasuach when the door is open. Next question. Does the door have to be actually open, right? Like, really open? Or is it enough if the door is closed but unlocked? And this became a big discussion. A big discussion. There is a tshuva in the Rashba who has a interesting comment. The Rashba was talking about a case that there's a wife of a Kohen who was secluded in Yichud, and the question is whether her husband is permitted to be with her or not. The Rashba says everything is permitted, no problem, he didn't understand the question. But in the middle of that answer that the Rashba gives, he says, Hagopas Lossel Sha America. This that you said that the doors are closed, Ein Ze Yichud, Ad Sheyehe Bayis No'ol. The Rashba tells us it's only considered Yichud if the door is locked. It's only Yichud if the door is locked. And he quotes a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says, Tara Tarik Yerushalmi, that means the gate is locked, which is a Shar No'ol B'man O'ol. It's locked with a lock. And he says, as long as the door is not locked, so then there is a concern in the one line later in this same Rashba, B'taima, the reason is, Ko She'eno B'man O'ol, as long as the door is unlocked, Yarehu Shema Yikonis Acher Shalobershos. There is a fear that maybe someone will come in without permission. Like a Gemara in Avodah Zarah in the context of Yayin Nesach. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says that the wine might become usher for Yayin Nesach if the door is unlocked. So the Rashba is a very big kula. The Rashba is saying that in order to have Pesach Pasuach, right, all you need is that the door is not locked. Right? So you can have a closed door, but it's not locked, and that's okay. That's okay. Now, the problem over here is that there is a whole literature written by Gedolei Achronim, very big people, Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Beis Meir. Usually Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Beis Meir hated each other. And I say hated, I really mean it. Like, they would write letters to each other to the effect of, you don't know what you're talking about. Like, sometimes, you know, there are Rabbonim who, you know, kind of get along and still have exchanged letters, and then sometimes you have, like, woo! Like, so, that's what's going on here. But in this case, the Kivager and the Beis Meir both agree, they both agree that Pesach Pasuach has to be that the door is absolutely open. Completely open, they say. And then someone asks them, what about the Tshuvas HaRashba? So you know what the Beis Meir writes? Rabbi Akiva Eger, I don't know what he said, I don't remember. He says there's no such Tshuvas HaRashba, it's a Ta'os Sofer. It's a mistake. No such thing. Boom. Easy enough. Best answer. This is a huge discussion in Shulchan Aruch and the Pesachei Tshuva. Unfortunately, the Bar Ilan CD does not have the Pesachei Tshuva on Eben HaEzer yet. They only have the Pesachei Tshuva in Yoredeya. They don't have the Pesachei Tshuva on Eben HaEzer. But the Pesachei Tshuva quotes that both Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Beis Meir say that the door has to be perfectly open. But the Radvaz and other Achronim say, but there's a Tshuva HaRashba, that as long as the door is not locked. Okay? Fine. Now again, what does this issue depend upon? So this issue should depend upon the same question that we began with. Is the understanding that Pesach Pasuach is that it is, I'm not secluded at all, right? I'm in a public space. Or do I say that, no, Pesach Pasuach means I'm in a private space, I am secluded, but there's a deterrent. Someone might come in. If you want the space to be a public space, it's got to be that it's really public, that people can come in very easily, that the door is completely open. That's what Rabbi Akiva Eger and the Beis Meir are assuming. The door mamish has to be open, has to be completely open. However, the Rashba who says that as long as the door is unlocked, it qualifies as Pesach Pasuach, the Rashba is based on this idea of deterrent. If the door is unlocked, I'm still nervous. Maybe someone's going to come in. You're not going to try anything. That's what the Rashba says. That's what this question should depend upon. Yeah?
I don't know if it makes a difference, but is the deterrence in the fact that they're going to stop you, or that you're going to be embarrassed and you're going to...
So, the Chazon Ish writes that the deterrent is that psychologically you won't want to play around if you know that people might barge in the middle. It's not a concern that they'll stop you, because if it's a concern that they'll stop you, you could always kind of, let's say Pesach Pesuch L'Rosh HaSarabim, let's say it's a massive room, right? Or the poskim say Pesach Pesuch could even help in if I have five rooms inside of rooms, right? But all the doors are open. That still is Pesach Pesuch. Right, because people could technically come in. Come on, you know that, right? But there's some psychological deterrent that's involved. That's what the Chazon Lish is quoting. And we'll speak about this idea of psychological deterrent more next week. Now, halakha l'masa, what's the story about the door? Does the door have to really be open, or is it enough that the door is unlocked? So it should depend if it's Yichud D'Oraisa or Yichud D'Rabbanan. This is what I thought, and actually Rabbi Berzon, who's now the Rosh Kol of Yeshiva University Kolel in Toronto, as of like 3 weeks ago, when we opened the Kolel, when Yeshiva University, I have to stop saying we, when Yeshiva University opened the Kolel in Toronto, so Rabbi Berzon wrote an article in the RJJ Journal some 20 years ago, where he wanted to say that if it's Yichud D'Oraisa, so then maybe you should be Machmir, like Rabbi Kiva Eger and the Beis Meir, keep the door completely open. If it's Yichud D'Rabbanan, so then the door is allowed to be closed but unlocked. So what are cases of Yichud D'Rabbanan? Yichud with a non-Jew is D'Rabbanan. Yichud with more than one woman is D'Rabbanan, right? All these cases of Yichud D'Rabbanan. But if it's Yichud one-on-one with an erva, with a woman who's prohibited, or Yichud of a woman with a man who's prohibited to her, so in that situation, it is going to be Yichud de Oraisa, and then the door should be completely open. That seems to be the psak. Okay. That is the basis of what we're beginning. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a big kula that no one... You had a question?
Does a crack qualify as completely open, or is a crack closed?
So I think a crack is closed. Open means that anyone from the outside can see in very easily. It's very easy to see in. The poskim actually compare Pesach Pasuach to what Rav Moshe calls Chalon Pasuach, the note of the composer also. We'll talk about this. Maybe we'll talk about it now. Chalon Pasuach means that I'm here, and there's a window, so everyone on the outside could see where I am. That's Chalon Pasuach, Rosh HaSarabim. That's the heter for Yichud in cars. No? The idea is that people could see in through the windows. So therefore, there's no Yichud. Now, obviously, you know, that means that you're right in front of the window. You're not putting anything to block up the windows that people can't see in. Things like that. And similarly, Pesach Pesuch would be that you're in the part of the room that people from the outside could see directly. For example, if the door is over here, if you're all the way in that corner, or better, in that corner, no one could possibly see you. That would not qualify as Pesach Pesuach according to the Beis Meir, but it would qualify as Pesach Pesuach according to the Rashba. Because people could enter the room, but it's not in the clear sight of vision. The Beis Meir's understanding of Pesach Pesuach is that it's in the clear sight of vision. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a cool about Pesach Pesuach that I don't think anyone holds of. In fact, Rav Schechter told me that when they told this to Rav David Lifshitz, Rav David said, oh, Rav Moshe is such a tzaddik, so for him maybe this tshuva makes sense. For no one else does it make sense. Rav Moshe says that it's considered Pesach Pesuach even if the door is locked. What does that mean? How could it be Pesach Pesuach? The door is locked. Pesach Pesuach, the door is locked. What's going on? So Moshe says, yeah, but in our countries, people knock on the door. When you knock on the door, of course, someone's going to get up and go to answer the door. So therefore, what? So therefore, Rav Moshe says, even though the door is locked, and someone told me that Rav Moshe used to do this. My mother told me. She went to ask Shilas to Rav Moshe, and she was like very freaked out by this experience. Rav Moshe lived in the Lower East Side. It wasn't the safest place. But he would lock the door. Rav Moshe. So, yeah, Rav David Moshe said, yeah, Rav Moshe is a tremendous gadol. For him, we're not worried about anything. But Rav Moshe writes this in the Tshuva. He says, Pesach Pesuch Rishus HaRabim, and I have the Igus Moshe here, the next source. Kfar Be'arti Da'afilu Ne'ula HaDerlas K'derach Kol HaDlasos. Even if the door is locked, like all doors are, Sh'derach Kuliyam B'krotem Lin Omi B'fnim Mitzad Shmira. That everybody, when you live in the big cities, locks the door because I live in the Lower East Side and Right? Everyone locks the door. Still, Kevan Shadach Kuli Alma. Kisha Shomim Mishinoki Fala Delas. Oshim Itzalzio Apalmon. Since everybody, when you hear someone knock on the door or ring the bell, so they come, right? Lekachba Misha Befinim Vishom Mihu. Right? Everyone asks who's there. Ukisho Shomea Shahume Hamakira. When he hears that someone who he recognizes, even if you don't know him very well, but you open up the door anyway. Right? So therefore, Rav Moshe says there's no problem Pesach Pasuach. It's considered Pesach Pasuach, excuse me, even if the door is locked. I would strongly recommend not relying on this. First of all, I think most of us have been in experiences that someone knocked at the door and we decided not to open the door. No? You make believe you're not home. Rav Moshe was very honest. He couldn't imagine this. Okay. But this is the Pesach of Rav Moshe. I don't think anyone relies on it. Rav Moshe, though, says that's only considered Pesach Pasuach or Shus Harabim if it's at a time that people normally come. That's the end of this tshuva. Now, this is the big, complicated issue as well. It's considered Pesach Pasuach or Shus Harabim even if it's at a time that people normally come. By the way, I give you on the sheet some Mara Makomos. It's getting a little bit late, so I don't think I'll need these inside. But Mara Makomos about Yichud and Kars. Rav Moshe also has an interesting Chumrah. Rav Moshe says that Yichud and Kars is forbidden, because even though you're on the interstate highway, maybe you'll turn off and you'll go to some side road where no one comes by, and that's where you'll Isser Yichud. Again, we assume that as long as you're in the public place, there's no Isser Yichud in the car. I had a student who asked me about driving from New York to Miami with his fiance, whether that would be a problem of Yichud. So I said, well, technically, when you're on the highway, it's not a problem of Yichud. What are you going to do overnight? Like, what exactly, where are you going to stay? First of all, you're not going to drive. It's what, like a 30-some-odd-hour drive or something, right?
You can do it in 17.
17 and a half. The most people, I think the most people stop to sleep over at some point in the middle.
Right.
You're speaking from experience.
My parents live there.
Okay, so, I felt that, you know, you can technically avoid the problem of yeet, but I didn't think it was necessarily the best idea. But for whatever the reason, they had to do it. Then they ended up getting in a problem because his car ran out of motor oil. That was a real Isser Yichud. Okay, fine. These things happen. Fine. So the next issue that comes up is what is considered Pesach Pasuach L'Rosh Hasharabim. So if Moshe tells us it has to be at a time that people will normally come. And the Pischei Tshuva and the classic Akronim and the Sadeh Shulchanaruch say, late at night when people normally do not come, it's not considered Rosh Hasharabim anymore. Rosh Hasharabim has to be when people are likely to come by. And it depends on where you are. Everything here is situational. I know my apartment, for example, is at the corner of the hallway. So people who come out from the elevator don't really pass by my apartment. I'm like the furthest apartment to get to in the hallway. The only people who are going to pass by my apartment are people who are coming to see me. So for my apartment to be considered Rosh Hasharabim, it's going to be much earlier at night. It's not considered Rosh Hasharabim anymore because fewer people come by. Those people who live right in front of the elevator, I happen to live in the Yeshiva University dorm building, so there are people who are coming up the elevator all hours of night. So those apartments right in front of the elevator, I think you could argue that's considered Rosh Hasharabim until the wee hours of the morning. There are people coming by at all times. But you have to know where you are. Chalon pasuach also. If the window is open and people could see, well, it depends on the street. What exactly is the shear for this? Unclear. The Chochmas Adam has the biggest kula possible. That's the last source on the third sheet. Chochmas Adam says that Rishus HaRabim here is based on the principle, he entertains the idea that's based on the principle of Rishus HaRabim by Tuma, which means as long as there are three people around, that's considered the Rishus HaRabim. Most do not really rely on the Chochmas Adam. We assume that Rosh Hasharabim has to be some sort of really public area. Rabbi Yashiv gives some shiur that people will pass by once every 10 minutes. That's considered Rosh Hasharabim. So you really have to know the situation. You have to know the streets. I think today in New York, the Chazon Ish was quoted as saying that after 10 p.m., there's no longer Heter Pesach Pesach or Shasarab. And maybe that's true in Bnei Brak. I think around here, after 10 p.m., things are just getting started. But 3 o'clock in the morning, I think there's really no Heter Pesach Pesach anymore. Yeah.
What about the concept of roommates? Meaning, would that be considered...
Right, so the concept of roommates, so again, if all the roommates are awake, we'll have to speak about multiple men and multiple women and how many of each you need in order to create a public space. Certainly if I have 3 men and 3 women, it's considered a public space. That's clear according to all the poskim that we'll talk about probably in 2 weeks or something. But the issue with roommates is that, generally speaking, we assume that they have to be awake. In order to really make it a public sort of place.
No, but the chance that they could come home, meaning if no one else is home.
Oh, okay. Right? So let's talk about that. The chance that the roommates could come home, even though no one else is home. So this is the Dov of Meisharim has a tshuva where he is dealing with a traveling salesman who used to go into people's homes. And the doors would lock right behind him, and he was worried about the Isser of Yichud. So the Dov of Meisharim says that he thinks it's permitted if there are other people on the outside who have keys to get into that home. And they could come at any moment. This is the kula that is recommended for babysitting. Usually, if you're in a babysitting situation, and it could possibly be a Yichud situation in babysitting, that's something that we'll have to talk about also. So if others on the outside have the key and they could come in, so that solves the prohibition of Yichud, providing that it's enough people who could possibly come in, that would solve the prohibition of Yichud. In other words, if it's one man and one woman, and that woman has one roommate, so even if that roommate comes, so it's still a prohibition of Yichud, because one man can't be secluded with 2 women. So that won't solve the problem. But if you have 3 roommates, and it's one man and one woman alone in an apartment, but there are 3 other people who might come, and it's likely that they'll come, there's a chance. If you know that your roommate is on vacation in Saskatchewan, it's not going to help. So that's the basic issue. So Pesach Pesuah, the poskim say, does not help late at night. Now, there is a problem here. The problem is like this. Tosfos in Shabbos asks the following question. We know there was a great tzaddik mentioned in the Navi named Palti ben Layish. Palti ben Layish was the man who, when David married Michal by killing 100 Plishtim, Meir Earl is Plishtim, he kills 100 Plishtim, and David technically marries Michal. Shaul, for whatever the reason, felt that they're not married, so he gave his daughter Michal to this man, Palti ben Layish. And the Gemara tells us that Palti ben Layish is an unbelievable tzaddik. He slept with Michal in the same bed at night, but he had a sword between him and her, and he never came close to her. Tremendous tzaddikus of Palti ben Layish. That's what the Gemara says. So Tosfos asks, Palti ben Layish is a tzaddik? The man is an unbelievable rasha. How is he violating Yichud all night to be with this married woman? She's someone else's wife. She's David's wife. What exactly is going on here? Tosfos asks that question. So you know what Tosfos' answer is? It's Pesach Pesuah for Rosh Harabim. The door that they had was open to Rosh Harabim. So the Achron say, 1 second, Pesach Pesuah Rosh Harabim, Palti ben Layish and Michal. At night? Don't the Achronim say there's no such thing as Pesach Pesuah at night? So you have to say something to the effect of it's all contextual. When we say there's no Pesach Pesuah at night, that means if you live in a community that people aren't out at night. I remember when I was going out with my wife went to college in Cleveland. And one time we went to Cleveland or something, and in Cleveland the streets are closed by like 9 o'clock at night. Such a different experience. Right? So, you know, obviously when in the town of Palti ben Layish and Michal live, people are out till the whole night. People are out all the time. So that's why there is no prohibition of Yichud. Everything is contextual. That's what the Achronim say. One other issue that we should speak about also based on this story of Palti ben Layish and Michal is as follows. There is a big discussion in the Achronim about whether Pesach Pesuah helps with someone who is libo gaspa. What's libo gaspa? Libo gaspa means that you have already forged a very close, intimate connection. You're already best friends. So does Pesach Pasuach help? Now, conceptually, this also relates to the same question that we've been talking about the whole time. If Pesach Pasuach means I'm in a public area, of course, Pesach Pasuach helps. Even though I'm very close to her, it's not Yichud at all. But if Pesach Pasuach is Yichud, but it's Yichud with a deterrent, that the issue is that, oh, you probably won't do anything because someone would come in at any moment. So if you're with a person that it's more likely that you will violate the Isurim because you've already been intimate together, or you are just best friends and there's more Kir of Hadas between you, it's more likely that you'll be together, so then perhaps it should be Usur even if it is Pesach Pasuach. This is a big discussion in the Achronim again. The classical poskim in Shulchan Aruch, I give you here the Chokas Mechokei, and we saw this earlier in the Aruch HaShulchan also. Chokas Mechokei, top of the third page, says, Ba'yish HaPesach Pasuch HaShas HaRabim, Nireh, the Hakanami, the Gaspa, Ubekimala is Aser, the Chinghu Betrumas Hadeshen. The Chokas Mechokei says that Pesach Pasuch HaShas HaRabim does not help, it's Aser if it's Gaspa. It's also if you are already very friendly. And he says that this is what it says in the Trumas Hadeshen. The problem is the Trumas Hadeshen doesn't say it. Okay, this is not my question. The Taz asks this question on the Chokas Mechokei. And the Taz says, I don't know exactly what you're talking about. Kinova, the second case, that's actually in the Trumas Hadeshen. But the case of Gaspa, that does not appear in the Trumas Hadeshen. So the Taz is Mekel. He assumes that Pesach Pasuach helps even if it is Libo Gaspa. Classical poskim are divided about this issue, how you should paskin halacha l'masa, if Pesach Pasuach by Libo Gaspa. It's a big question. Rav Moshe thinks that you should be machmir on the question. Many others are mekal. It's also very, very hard. One of the hardest judgment calls is what's considered Libo Gaspa. I remember when I was dating my wife, after we were engaged already, so my wife was in a serious car accident on a Friday afternoon. She was supposed to be coming to my house for a Shabbos, and she got in this car accident, so I picked up and I drove out to Brooklyn. It happened that Shabbos, it worked out that my in-laws weren't home. No one was home in the house, so then we're like, oh gosh, this is Yichud disaster land over here. So I was like very nervous about like the Pesach Pasuach, and I was very worried, is this considered Libo Gaspa? Like, where should we eat? So I said, like, maybe we should eat out on the front porch so we're not secluded at all. My wife agreed. So this became, and then, like, I had to look for a place to sleep that night. This became, like, a whole issue. Or maybe by the next morning, people noticed I was there, and they invited us for lunch, and we solved some of the Yichud issues. But that was exciting. So Pesach Pasuach by Libo Gaspa is a big question. If Moshe feels you should be machmir, others feel that you can be mekel on the question. But it's interesting that you could bring a raya, you could bring proof from that same story with Palti ben Laish and Michal, no? What happened? Palti ben Laish and Michal are basically staying together, like husband and wife, mostly. Shaul married his daughter to Palti ben Laish, and they're staying together all the time. Right? And Tosa says that the reason it's mutter is because it's Pesach Pasuach. But wouldn't it be Libo Gaspa? Wouldn't it be that they've been together for so long that they're already very, very friendly? L'chora, I would think so. And it would seem that from that Tosa you get the impression that Pesach Pasuach should be mutter even though it's Libo Gaspa. Others say no, maybe Palti ben Laish really didn't like Michal. I don't know. But I think the simple reading of the Tosfos is that Pesach Pasuach should be mutter by a case of Libo Gaspa. I think we covered most of the issues here in Pesach Pasuach. Are there any questions? Yeah.
Yeah, why is Yichud with a non-Jewish woman is Sir Zerabana?
Yeah, so the Gemara tells us that Yichud with a non-Jewish woman is a gezeira of the Bezdin of, I think, Shammai and Hillel made that gezeira. The only type of Yichud that's a d'oraisa is Yichud with an erva. Yichud with a woman that min ha-Torah you're not allowed to marry, but she could marry someone else. Non-Jews, halachically, have no institution of marriage. They can't marry anyone. So it's not considered an erva. So therefore, the yichud with a non-Jew is only an Isser D'Rabbanan, it's not an Isser D'Oraisa. Yeah?
How did Moshe have a yichud situation?
How did he?
It's a locked door, is it Pesach Pasuach?
No, so he says it's only Pesach, it's a locked door at a time that people might still be knocking on the door. But if it's very late at night, that no one knocks on your door anymore, so then there's no heter, Pesach Pasuach.
Okay.
That's Rav Moshe's argument. An interesting argument. Yeah.
What's the inyan with Boaz and Ruth? I mean, she was told you have to go and
right, so
be on the
Boaz game. And Ruth, the interesting thing is that Ruth was a single woman who was mutter to Boaz. Right? She's a single, unmarried woman. She's allowed to be with Boaz. It might not be something that we would look so kindly upon, but technically speaking,
at
she was...
alone on the threshing floor?
technically speaking, she was muteris to him. Right, so that's why it's permitted. I think so.
Wouldn't it violate the David HaMelech at that point?
Would it violate the gezeira of David HaMelech? The problem is, this is before David HaMelech.
Oh. Got a different analogy around it.
Any other questions? Yeah.
In terms of the window issue, so like in our apartment buildings, how our windows like face other apartments.
Oh, okay, yeah, so that's very important. So the poskim say that as long as someone can see in and it's a reasonable expectation that people will see in, that's considered chalom pasuach. So if I'm on the fifth floor, so there are two ways of being make on the yichud question. People in the hallway, and also people from the building across the street, if they could see in. The only thing you have to be careful about is at night, can they really see in? Depends on... Okay, that's the answer. Okay. I we'll strike that one from the record. Anything else? Okay. So thank you all for coming. And Mr. Shem, next week we'll continue with some of the other halachos of Yichud.
Thank you very much.